Hi everybody, this is Terry Laundry. Welcome to the T-Theory Observations for Sunday, August 23, 2009. We have two charts up today, and I have material to talk for about 2 hours, but since I don't think we want to really do that at this time of the season, I'll have to get into a mode of kind of touching on the high spots, and then later on I will expand on these. Let's take a look at the first chart, which is the volume oscillator chart, and I'll make the general comments for today, and then we'll switch over to the advanced decline oscillator, where you see a different perspective, and that's helpful to see those as well. There's not too much changed in the volume oscillator chart. I have the arrows pointing up to these lows that come in, you know, after you get overbought, and you come down, and you make the reactions and so forth. But I have added this blue mystery tea, which is a tea that goes from the oscillator peak in March down to the oscillator low, and oscillator low in the middle of June, and it comes up with a peak that's a little bit early. It's far away from where we are now, but it's going to turn out to be interesting because there's a lot of interference going on in this market. It largely comes from the fact that when you came out of the March low, everybody was very negative, and you came up for the rally, and then when it rolled over into the center post low of the second tee, they all thought that it was going to go down to sometime and retest the March lows. You hear people talking about half the mortgages are underwater, so how can you be in a bull market? And so you have all these doubters, and then when this last week you start getting good economic data in, you get a lot of people jumping on the market, and they're trying to come in as Johnny come latelys, and they foul up the works, and they cause all these T's to develop, because T's are the claim is made that you have this time symmetry property, and it has to do with, like the mystery tea, which you have a peak in March in the oscillator, and you have a low someplace else. You count out the number of days, and so you end up with this arbitrary projection of a top, which is to come. The first tee of the new bull market and the second tee of the new bull market are the tees that I have derived over the last 35 years. And they tend to be right, because when you play the rules out over a long period of history, there are certain ways in which you count the cash build-up phase. But I did have some questions that relate to this, and there's always somebody who says, well, why don't you put the other T? Why don't you put the center post of the T someplace else? And it turns out that's kind of a dangerous thing to do, but very often it points to something that you should remember, because the symmetry is presumed to be a natural phenomenon, and you know, if the situation is right, that you're going to get the top someplace along the way, and you should pay attention to it. The difficulty is trying to get the priorities right, so that you don't get confused with these Johnny-come-latelys coming into the buying now. And so I just want to mention that we do have this intermediate term advanced decline T, which does say that we're going up into August 26th of 2010. That's in the next chart, and I'll speak to that point later. We do the second T of the new bull market does say that we're going up to mid-October. The mystery T, which is going to come in earlier, is one of those you've got to watch out for it, because if you're really paranoid, it's possible that a lot of the crazy people are going to come in on that T, and you're going to kind of get them to kind of exhaust themselves at the mystery T top date. I'll let somebody else will send me an email telling me where that top date is, because it's easy to compute from the oscillator, or I will do it. But that's the kind of thing you got to watch out for. If you do make a top at the right end of the mystery T, what'll happen is you'll get a sharp reaction, and then you're going to get another, and then the buyers, the last group of buyers is going to come in, and they're going to shoot you up to that mid-October top. So there's a question of whether you want to wait for, you know, how many people you want to wait for before you start looking for a top pattern. And it's complicated because the world is in a mess, okay? So the mess causes messy-looking tees, and messy-looking tees cause ambiguous projections. But if the symmetry is right, they'll all kind of come out, so you just kind of have to sort this stuff out. Monty asked me that question, and he was talking about something. He did send me a chart, but he started triggering a whole bunch of things that I want to talk about. And if he would like to send me the chart showing me his particular tea, I think the mystery tea is what he wants. Okay, but shuffled off into another thought pattern, which has interfered with me. And so let me just go on to the next topic, and then I will introduce how that mystery tea concept comes into play. As you'll notice that in my my notes, as we get into the program, it occurred to me that that we wanted to talk about a number of subjects and try to be consistent from my last report. The question is, where is the T-theory tutorials? Well, it turns out that what happened is that's delayed to this week, and isn't any particular problem. What happened was I was setting up the chapters for my forthcoming book in a site, which is Bob the Moneymaker, and so I went through all of the chapters and I got everything done. Some of it's you've probably heard before, some of it's original, and I was helped very much by their webmaster, Tanya, and she's very capable. And so I decided that rather than spending my own time in transposing those tutorials over to this site, which is based on TypePad, I would just contract it out and let her do it. And so we should be able to get this stuff up in the week. And as soon as it starts to appear, I will post. You notice that last week, in the middle of the week, I did a quick update for August 18th, reactions from bottom to bottom and so forth. I will post another one of those quick updates as soon as the material comes across and so forth. Now, when you read that over, I have another question, which is a really good question from Graham, and he was saying that maybe we should have a group for T-theory discussion, and if somebody wants to volunteer to do that, that's perfectly fine, and I'd be happy to go along with that. But I was already anticipating that, and what's going to happen is that the tutorial is going to come over to my other site, which is ttheoryfoundation.org, which is the site that will have all of my writings when I'm gone, and it will have the capability for you to post comments, and then there will be a mechanism by which some discussion can take place. Generally speaking, unmoderated discussions tend to degenerate into yelling matches, so we don't do that sort of stuff. But I will work something out, and it's just going to take a few weeks and so forth. There is another way to do that, and that is to post a discussion group elsewhere, and I'd be happy to do that. I'm not going to do this discussion group, but if somebody wants to moderate it, and then I can chime in. But I think it's probably going to be better if we put this into the T-Theory Foundation tutorials, because you'll have a chance to comment on the particular subject material, and then I will know how to rephrase or to add material to that. Eventually, the chapters in that are going to become the chapters in my book, so you know, we might as well get the feedback and put everything in before we get too far along the way. And what I would generally do is take all of the discussion stuff, and I would post it in another an appendage to that, where we're talking about questions and answers, and that's not too much of a problem. You know, leave out the garbage. A lot of people post questions the first time, and then they say disregard that, and then they come back with a real question, because it just takes a little bit of time to do that. So sometimes you just don't want to know what the raw stuff is, and we'll take care of that. So that's my answer to Graham's. Rick said that the pullback that we had was very short, And that's because this is a complicated subject, which I was going to spend a lot of time on this week, but I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I have a lot of other things to do. And that is that sometimes people get confused. For example, if you see the top that we had in the volume oscillator in the early part of August, which came from, there's a small t in the advanced decline, remember that was supposed to be around August 4th, and you fall down, then the question came up, what about the rally? Well, then you always get these people who are day traders, and what happens is if you don't have a plan going down at least to the zero line, this one a little bit below it, and you don't know the number of days of the decline, what'll happen is the day trader will say, well, it's Friday, I got a short position, I think I want to close it out because I'm going to go to the beach on over the weekend and so forth. And then what happens is that you start off on Monday figuring that you're going to be able to take care of the new week, and you find out that while you were sleeping, Asia collapsed, Europe has collapsed, and the market just gaps down, so you never can reinstitute your short positions. And you know, then that's the low. Okay, so you know, life is difficult, right? So you have to have a plan, and the plan is basically that there's a certain number of days down, there's a certain number of points that the thing falls, and all market declines. The rally that we had, and I have to talk about that, but that is a that's what Marty Schwartz did. He said he was a day trader, okay, but he really knew patterns of how many days you went down, how much the oscillator went down, and he was able to catch what you would call waves in the market. And I will, at a future time, show you how to take the chart that I have here, count out the days of the waves, and how you have to sort out the patterns. But in any case, this rally that we've had, I don't know whether you can see the dots. If you expand this chart a little bit, usually a browser, if you open this up in a browser, and you know, for the people that are handicapped visually, they allow you to make the typeface double the size and so forth. If you just do that, you can see all the dots that count the days. But anyway, it's up 4 days. I would be surprised in looking at rallies from those, where those, if you look where those red lines arrows are, I would say that if you recover 2/3 of your decline in the oscillator and you've gone up for 4 days, you're looking at a top coming, okay? But you can't say exactly where it is. It's sort of a judgmental thing. It could run into a top on Monday, could pull back Wednesday, then come up again run up on Monday, start to soften, pull back on Tuesday, come back up Wednesday, and then turn down. But if you're not there on top of the situation real fast, you'll just get whipsawed because the thing is moving very fast. Schwartz was extremely good on that, and although it's true that he was a day trader, it wasn't. I would say that the practical truth of the matter is, it's not helpful to know that day trading is not a strategy that is helpful to know. The pattern of the number of days that you decline, and the fact that all bottoms have to be at or below the zero line. So that says that if you want to buy something, if you're not at or below the zero line, you're in the wrong place. Okay, so it gets rid of a whole bunch of days. Doesn't tell you exactly where the bottom is, but you have to get involved in that. That is a whole science, and I'm kind of thinking about a project where you kind of look at this thing in detail, and I show you how to map these things and kind of get the he had a rule with an M formation, which had to do with topping in the 1990s. The 1990s are gone. They don't do that anymore. Okay, but we always had a 7 day rule that the market would take 7 days. Now, if you look at this last drop that we had, there's a little top that's earlier than the second top. So you had 1 day down, almost came back for the second day, third day down, fourth day you had a rally, fifth day top, sixth day down. And then you crashed on Monday to the seventh day down. It's very often true that you just get a 7 day decline. Okay, so it's easy for me because last Friday I could say the market has to go down, but you don't know whether it's 7 days or 8 days or whatever it is. But you just have to factor that sort of stuff into your thinking, and you're not going to believe any of this stuff if I tell it. You have to actually calculate most of this stuff yourself, so that you got to get the pattern. Also, the pattern is very complicated because going into the center post of a T, things are somewhat different. But you know, often they're just the same. So there's a little bit of complexity in that, but you have to get into the basics before you go to before you get you know, good enough to get to the second point. So Rick's question on basically why was the pullback short is because you're in the right side of a T. And if you're not on the right side of a T and you're in the early phases of the T. Now, assuming that you go up here and you run into some trouble over the next couple of days, what you're going to do is you're going to come back, and then they're going to try and go up again. Well, I'm not sure how much they're going to come back and how much they're going to go up again, but we're not talking about a lot of time here. So I would say that I don't think I would be particularly try to do anything bearish, because what's happened is that the breakout of the T originally, and then the ability for the market to recover very quickly from here, is going to bring all those people in that didn't believe you're in a bull market, and they're going to just be coming in over the top with money. And a lot of those are institutions that are underinvested or other people. It's not their money; they just put the money in the market. So you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to get in front of those people. However, it's generally quite true, and it's almost always, you know, practically true, that you can't buy anything unless you can get the oscillator to go below the zero line. And furthermore, I would think that the oscillator has to be down as at least as low as it was last Monday. In other words, if you just pull back to the zero line, that's not going to cut it. Okay, you could get another rally, but then you drop back down to the under the zero line. So you know, you have to get the rules all arranged, and that rule is basically that you do need to be, sort of be have to be under the zero line anyway, and you probably have to be back to that one before you could do any buying. And as to whether you want to sell anything or not, you don't have to do anything. The mystery T is a potential sell point though, because that one you tend to get most of the people in the market. It's not here for a while, so you may have to go through some other things, and I'd be patient on that point. But the mystery T is the place where, if you're paranoid, that's the place where you look for the sells. It will deal with that at a later date because we haven't got there yet. Now, Jeff also brought up a technical question, which is the 55-day moving average discrepancy. I have up on my chart, I say that the 55-day moving average envelope was at 952 for this week. He pointed out that if you go to a respectable chart service and you ask for an exponential moving average for 55 days duration, you'll get the same number at the bottom. That's because I don't do things the same way that they do it. It is possible that there is a slight discrepancy in the way 55-day moving averages that are exponential. You don't count 55 days. You have a coefficient, and it's like four significant numbers, and it's a very small number in the basic number. And it's possible that that could be slightly off, and that could arrange for it. But basically, when I built this whole system, I decided never to base my closing data on the close for the S&P 500. What I did was I decided it should be the midpoint between it would be the midpoint between the open and the close. However, they don't use an open. What they do is they use previous close, is they assume it's an open, even if it gaps up. So, for example, if the S&P 500 was to open at yesterday's close and then close up 20 points, most moving averages would go for the 20-point higher number as the closing S&P, is the S&P number that they would put into the 55-day moving average or whatever. I would only take it up as 10 points because I'm very conscious of designing this such that you don't get into trouble in making bullish biases going up or downside biases, because I can't hit the targets on the red line. You'll notice, for example, when we came up in the red line, the market kept pushing up into that period, and it kept stopping that. Part of that is because the calculations I make are very unbiased, very energy conservation related, and you tend to hug the line. You'll notice, for example, that we're saying that the market could be approaching a top, but the red line, which is got the S&P 500 high for Friday's close, hasn't reached the red line. It'll find a way to get up there. That's I'm pretty sure, because I take a lot of care in the way that I do the calculation. But I don't use the closing number, and I find out that if you do things more statistically correct while you're building the energy conservation thing, it tends to make the numbers more or less come out where they're predicted to be on the envelope channels. And that so that's my answer to that question is that's probably where the error is. And there's nothing you can do about the chart service. Personally, I wouldn't worry about it because I don't know that the numbers are going to be that exact anyway. Now, and I did mention that the T-theory discussion business, when you see when the tutorial comes up, I will put a link up, and you will go over there and you'll see it. And chances are, depending how Tanya sets it up, we'll see a thing that says, "Would you like to post a comment?" We're going to start to do that, and at this site and every other site that I do, to where you can post a comment rather than go to my email box, because what they do is they hold on to these things forever because they record them on tape at night and so forth. And whereas I might delete something accidentally and so forth. So it's a good place to put it in for a record. But the idea is that we're going to try to get more of a interactive nature of the whole thing, and we're going to try just to embed it into the program. Jonathan asked whether the whether T's could be applied to other areas, and the answer is, except for the a capital and income example, which I did do before, I only post things if I really can find a good example. And the reason for that is that if you T's almost always show up where there's a lot of financial interest. In other words, there's a lot of buyers and sellers get it together, you tend to get good T's. If you don't have a lot of buyers and sellers getting together, you get a bunch of garbage, which if you try to interpret them as T's, will mislead you. So I tend to leave it out. One of the reasons I don't talk about the gold, except for the big picture going up to 2020, is that you look at the patterns, and I'm not sure that there's that many people that are interested in gold. I don't, you know, because I don't see the patterns being as reproducible as they were, for example, back in the 70s. The T's were quite good, and that was an inflationary period, and everybody was hot on the gold. This one, I think, is we're in a deflationary period, and I think that there's a general interest in commodities, but that's Asia, and the gold goes with that. But I don't think it's enough to make the gold stuff really work very well. So I tend to kind of be in the position of not talking too much about that. And otherwise, I'm going to end up having to do it for all. He's got a whole bunch of things he wants to know about, and he says, "And I'm not going to do the forecast for that sort of thing." So, so I think that probably covers the two questions that I want to that I want that those cover the questions that I feel as though I should comment on at this point. If we go to the advanced decline chart, which is the second chart here, I have you see I have added to the chart in addition to bullish August 26, 2010, which is good. I have now have the ability to have my S&P 500 bar chart expanded, so you can see that the bar for Friday is coming up. Definitely has not reached the upper channel, which is at the it says 1037 up at top, but it's you know. And I'm sure it's correct. The upper envelope is 1037. It could be rising a little bit next week. So, you know, if you're looking to where is this thing going to go, it closed at 10. It closed at 1026. Well, 37. There's 11 points someplace in there that's missing in the gap. That says for Monday. If it got up for 11 points, that's where the top is. Okay, or you pushed into that, you're getting toppy. If it didn't, it's you know you can do some finagling and try to get up there, but definitely speaking, there is a small T in here, and which is the second T, and that T is it's going to try to get you up there, so if you you don't want to disbelieve that it's going to get up there. It'll get up there, but as time passes on, this upper channel is actually rising, and if you look at the data from a previous week, you can figure out how much that. Or you could just draw the channel, and you can see it gets higher every day. So if it mumbles, chances are it's just going to pop up at you know, in a couple of days to a slightly higher level, and you just have to figure that out as you go along. But I just that little T in because we're not quite there yet, according to that T. The oscillator doesn't really want to, the volume oscillator doesn't really want to go up too many more days, so it has to figure out, there's some way to figure out how you're going to get there, but it always turns out, because they're careful of all this stuff, if you can get to that red line, that's probably a temporary top, and you have to have some sort of a pullback after this T is over. The other thing that I mentioned down below here is that, just below that T, is I have wave number one. It's entirely possible that there are three waves going up before we get to the mid-October peak. Wave one probably ended when that first T ended, which was going into April, and it's sort of consolidating. And the next wave could have the same amount of rise of the advanced decline line. So it's possible that we could actually get up to the 1080 level-ish, you know, something like that, and by the time the second wave is completed, and you could do that in the latter part, middle of next month, that could be another 3 weeks, and that would be wave two, and it's possible that that is, in fact, the mystery T-top, has something to do with the mystery top, if it's not exactly right, and then you fall off of that, and then you get wave three, and the wave three carries you up to something which gets you up close to where the market broke down in September. You see how it dropped down to the 1030 level from the 1230-ish level on my chart here. Well, actually, 1230 was say the 1230, 1280. You might be able to make that on the third wave up, and that's the way you kind of think about it, is the waves and so forth. And maybe the mystery T has something to do with the end of the second wave, and then maybe the mid-October has something to do with the third wave that gets up there. And you have to remember, if you sell something, you have to figure out where the next buy point is, so you also have to wait for the wave to get taken care of and not worry too much about the mumblings that go on while you're up, the jitter while you're going up the wave. So you try to kind of factor that in, and that would maybe help you not get too bearish too early. Mystery T, though, is the best way in T theory, to just sort of say that it can get choppy, but we haven't really got any kind of an important top in place. Okay, so I think that probably, let's see if I covered everything that I want to cover today. And I will post something in right above this where it says update for Sunday, August 8th. As soon as we start going into the T-Theory Foundation, I'll give a link and everything like that. And then there'll be places for comments, and you can start that. And then probably by the end of the week, I'll start taking comments at this website, and then I will drop my Terry Laundry at Comcast.net, which is my junk email box, and I don't always look at it. And we'll start working over that. So have a good week. Looking forward, it's going to start to get choppy, but if you just wait around for a while, the market should be able to recover from anything until we get that second wave up. Bye bye.